Amen. Hallelujah. Who's been blessed so far? Yeah. God is good. He is a good God. He is alive. He loves you. He cares for you. And he wants to be more real than ever before in your hearts and your minds. Amen. We serve an amazing God. He's a great God. Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Parenting is not easy. It's not easy. Parenting is not easy. But praise God, we got Jesus. If you're a believer, we've got Jesus with us. You know, as a parent, there is no manual. There is no manual. And you basically learn and grow in trial and error. But for us as believers, I thank God that He is with us. And we as believers have a responsibility. And the responsibility is very clear that we continue to teach the truth from one generation to another generation. And that generation we pass on to the next generation. Amen. Now I'm a fourth generation born and brought up in an Anglican background. My great-grandfather decided to give his heart to the Lord. And my grandparents, both my mum's parents and my dad's parents, were vicars in an Anglican church. And my parents, and I see their siblings, who are my aunties and uncles. Now, out of some of them, some have a real faith in God, some have just knowledge about God. And how quickly my grandparents taught their children, and the children taught, some of their children taught their children, which is us, about God. But my uncles, who walked away from God, because it's easy to walk away from God. It's easy to walk away from God when we don't keep our eyes on God. It's easy to drift away from God when we don't anchor ourselves in the Word of God. And the sad part is that out of my three uncles, two uncles were, as soon as my grandparents, my mom's side, died, my uncles went after the wealth, went after the properties, and there are seven sisters and three brothers in my mom's side. My mom is number three, was number three. She's with the Lord now. And my uncles were younger than my mom, and they fought with the sisters, and I was a little kid. I was in my, I think, early teens, and I saw the chaos. But the sad thing is, see, God gave them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent and get right, and they never did. And I have to say, it's very sad, but the Lord has taken them away. And some of their kids don't walk with God today. And thank God, out of all these, I don't know, I've got a million cousins. You know, when you have your mom's side, 10 uncles and aunties, 9 uncles and aunties, my dad's side, 5. Out of that, I think there's just my mom's side, there are 7 pastors, my cousins. You know, there are 7 of us who are pastors in the church. It's pretty cool. But out of however many, probably 20, I don't know, I lost count. But I keep thinking about this, and it's so important for us as believers. We are not here on earth to have a good time and then just slip away into whatever you think you're going to go. Let me tell you, there is heaven that is real, and there is hell that is very real. There is gnashing of teeth. Hell is very real. You think it's just fiction? No. If you're still down, wait till you get there. I pray you won't. Because heaven is real. And as a believer, I've been thinking on Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day, we celebrate Mother's Day. You know, mums, they are amazing. They sacrifice a lot, you know. I hope you mums today had a good, if you have your children at home, had a, you know, breakfast in bed and whatnot. If you haven't, then if your children, you know, maybe you're catching up to this afternoon or tonight, you'll have a great time. But this morning, I got coffee in bed. You know, I said, oh, thank you. I got coffee in bed and a kiss on the cheek said, Happy Mother's Day. I said, thank you, Cara. You know, it is true. She gave me a kiss on the cheek. She gave me a hot coffee in bed and she goes, wake up, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I said, isn't that wonderful? But it is now my responsibility to train and equip my children to follow Jesus. It is my godly responsibility that I don't become just a teacher, but I become a student and a follower of Jesus. I want to keep faith alive. I have a godly responsibility. All I did is literally not produce the kids. I was part of that. But now I have a responsibility to equip, to train my children in the Lord. Yes, they have to get an education. Yes, they have to. But there is a godly mandate. There's a biblical mandate. Each of you, along with me as parents, if you're parents, you know what I'm talking about, that your faith has to be alive. And the devil is after your faith. The devil wants to attack us. And I tell you what, we all have history. Amen. We all have a past. We do. And this morning I want to talk about, Shannon forgot to get my little props up here. Thank you, Shannon, along with the props here. I titled my message as The Cord of, thank you, and those things too, of Legacy. The Cord of Legacy. The Cord of Legacy, because, thank you, we are part of a legacy and we have a responsibility to continue to create a godly legacy. Amen. It's so awesome to see Courtney and Eliza sing. And I got to say, there was a time, I don't know, it's good they cleared the microphones everywhere. That's good, very good. But when I need it, I don't have one. But I remember we were standing here one night. It was, I can't even remember, weeknight. I was singing. We were just mucking around. No one's around, just a few of us. I was singing. Joseph was singing. Joseph was all interested in Courtney, trying to impress her, you know, when back in the day when he was trying to date her. And he was the best Christian, you know, when he was trying to date her. You know, try to woo her. And so anyway, unbeknown to me, but I said to Courtney, I said, here you go, you sing. And she froze. She couldn't even grab the microphone. And today she gets up and sings. And so same with Eliza, as we know about Eliza too. She's overcoming, and I think she's overcome. Because I want to tell you, it's amazing to see. I don't want to run a church. We have a job, amen. Those who are grandparents or those who are parents of children are married, you have a responsibility. It's not just your children, now your grandchildren and bigger than that. And if you're not married yet, if you haven't got children yet, or if you couldn't have children, you've been married and you can't have children, I know it's difficult, but I want to say this, God still has a plan for you. God wants you to be a blessing. God wants you to be a mother or a father to children who missed out on mothers and fathers. Amen. God knows what He's doing in your life. So I titled it as A Cord of Legacy. Now, this is a modern cord. It's a tow thingy, whatever you call them. I call it a cord of legacy because I want to talk from the story of Rahab. And when my wife heard it, she goes, what are you preaching on? I said, about Rahab. And she goes, on Mother's Day? She goes, whoo, happy Mother's Day. I said, I want to talk about Rahab because Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a reject in the society. Rahab also You find Rahab in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, in the lineage of Jesus. And I want to tell you something today, that Jesus' great, 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 great grandmother was a prostitute. Why am I talking about this? Because I tell you what, God is not interested in our past. Amen. He's keen to see that we pass on a godly legacy. That we pass on a godly legacy. It's not just houses, cars, and all that stuff. They will all perish one day. They will all perish one day. Your certificates on the wall that you framed will burn one day. But you and I have a role to play, that is to pass on the legacy. Amen. And so we look in this story about Rahab and in Jericho. Now, Rahab was a harlot, a prostitute, and in the book of Joshua chapter 2, I'm going to give you the story, and we look at a few scriptures, but very quickly, if you don't know the story about Rahab. Now, Rahab was a prostitute, and when the Israelites came out of the from Egypt and wilderness, and now they got to conquer Jericho. Jericho was a big city and with massive big walls that they could run chariots around the walls of Jericho to entertain the Jerichonians. You want to call them Jerichonians, you know? And now the children of Israel are supposed to overtake and conquer the city of Jericho. So Joshua sends two spies to go spy the land and see how they can conquer it. So these two spies go, and they're spying the land, and the king of Jericho somehow finds out that there are two spies that have been sent by Joshua to spy the land. So he sends these soldiers to go capture these people, and they knew that these two spies entered into the house of Rahab. Now Rahab, what she does is she hides these two spies under some flax bedding thing or roofing thing. She hides them there, and when the soldiers come, she actually lies to them. She goes, "Oh, they were here, but they went away." And so the soldiers go and look for these two spies somewhere else. But when the spies come down, and then when they're about to sleep, Rahab starts talking to them about something. And I want to talk about that, because this is the story about this woman who saved these two spies. And this woman, we can look, and as they're getting ready to sleep that night, she goes in verse chapter 2 and verse 2 in the book of Joshua. "Now therefore," she goes, "I beg you," this is Rahab saying, "therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." How amazing is that prayer? Because she could have asked for anything. She could have asked for gold. She could have asked for a house, property. She could ask for something that would keep them happy. But what she asks is, "Would you save my household? Would you, when you come back to conquer Jericho, would you save my household? My father, my mother, my children." I'm telling you, you have a responsibility. Those that are planning to get married, when you're married, when you have children, you have a responsibility. Amen. Those that are young married couples, you have a responsibility that you don't just accumulate wealth, you don't accumulate stuff in your house, but I pray that you will accumulate the blessings in heaven, because you have a responsibility to teach and to save and to lead your families in God. I've got one solid amen. I think I'm doing well. I love it. She said, I want my family to be saved. I want my family to be saved. How many of you are crying out and saying, God, I want my child to be saved. I want my daughter to be saved. I want my son to be saved. How many of you are crying out and saying, God, I want my grandchildren to be saved. Amen. And in Joshua chapter 2 verse 18, listen to these guys what they say. The spies reply in verse 18, you must leave the scarlet robe. It is this robe. You must leave a scarlet robe hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, your mother, brothers, and your relatives must be here inside the house. And what they're saying is, if everybody's in the house and if there's a rope hanging through the window, all of your family will be saved the day when we come and conquer the city of Jericho. How cool is that? Because imagine if God was talking to us, or the scarlet, the harlot, Rahab, and he's saying, I know you've got baggage. I know you've got, you know, you are socially bankrupt. I know you got a social stigma because you're a prostitute and all those things. But none of those things mattered when she cried out to God. None of those things mattered when she cried out to God. Today you may think that, oh, look, I've sown what I've reaped, and I'm paying for what how I lived my life, and you probably have settled down to go, this is my life. It's always like this. No, today I want to tell you that if you can walk in the truth of the Word of God, today and the future, you can redeem by the blood of Jesus. You can redeem by the blood of Jesus. God is not interested in your past. What He's interested is in your obedience today to His Word. And when you cry out with all your heart and say, God, I know where my family come from. I know my father might have cheated on my mom. I know that my mom and dad have broken up and they're divorced. I know that they don't have a relationship. I know my grandparents were sick of cancer, died of cancer, whatever. There's a generational curse and all that. But the day you give your heart to God, and allow the blood of Jesus to come upon you, He breaks every curse over our life. Amen. Because the prayer is, it's not just save my children, but to save my children's children. Amen. My children's 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 children. Because that's what it says in Numbers. We sing that song, you know, my family and my family and my family and family, and, you know, the blessing song. And we made that into a song. It's nice to sing the song, but how many of you really pray that prayer? How many of us really pray that prayer and say, God, I thank you for my children. I plead the blood of Jesus upon them. I thank you for it. But I pray that their children's children and children's children will be saved and walk in the covenant of God. Amen. I want to tell you today, God is not interested in your past. There is no past sin, secret, that is too big for God to destroy it. The day you allow God and apply the Word of God in your life, He can destroy it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, all things have gone, and all things, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have gone and all things have become new. Amen. You're not defined by as a prostitute. You're not defined as an alcoholic. You're not defined as a promiscuous person. You're not defined as a greedy man. You're not defined as a manipulator. You're not defined by your behavior. You will be defined by the word of God and by the blood of Christ when you give your heart to God. Amen. So don't allow your past. There is an attack on identity within our church, within our society, within our city, within our nation. And I'm telling you, this is a true story that recently my three children sat me down and they told me what I'm doing wrong. They sat me down and they told me what I need to improve in my life as a father. And the pride in me wanted to just give it back. Verbally, I wanted to pull them down too, and I want to blame or defend. You know, that's what pride does. Pride denies, defense attacks. Amen. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. Don't look so holy and Christian-y, you sinners. We are all sinners. The three sat me down, and everything in me wanted to fight back. But the God in me said, humble yourself. Humble yourself. And I am genuinely, this is only 3 weeks ago, it was difficult to take it. And I went home, not home, I was home, you know, and I went into my bedroom and there was an attack in me. And the attack goes, see, you're not a good father. You're not good enough to be a good father. You're a failure. And I did spend time as a poor me for 1 hour. But then I reminded myself of the word that I spoke on Easter Sunday, that we are called to be overcomers. Overcomers. How do we overcome? Remember, repent, and repeat. I remembered who I am in the Lord. Hallelujah. That I'm a child of God. That yes, I am not good enough, but with Christ I am more than enough. Come on. And then I remembered who I am in the Lord. Then I repented of my sin, of my arrogance and my stupidity. And then I'm repeating that again. I am their father. Yes, they can tell me what I should learn and grow in, but I'm still their dad. God has given me a responsibility to lead my family, and I'm not going to abdicate that. Am I perfect? No. Do I have a past? Yes, so do you. But my past is not going to ruin my future or my present. Amen. And I brought this thing here. I wanted to show you briefly. But this is, in the Old Testament, I want to talk about this. I'm spending on this one particular story quite a bit. Because, see, in the Old Testament, God wanted to live amongst people. That's why we call it tabernacle. Tabernacle was God's presence living with the Israelites. Now, this is just a prop, okay? And I'm talking about the Ark of God or the Holy Box. And the Holy Box, the Ark of God, God gave Moses instructions in Exodus 25. He gives him instructions on how to build the tabernacle. And if you've got time, you can read and learn and grow in that. But in the box, I want to particularly today speak about the box. Because in the box, God instructs three things to be carried in the box. And number one was the manna. The manna the Israelites were fed by God supernaturally, the manna in the wilderness. And the other thing was the stones, the Ten Commandments that God gives Moses. And when Moses comes down, he finds these Israelites erected these idols, and they were worshiping these golden statues. And Moses gets pretty grumpy and he breaks the tablet. It's not a Samsung tablet, but he breaks those stones, the Ten Commandments that God has given him. And the third thing is the rod that budded. It's Aaron's rod that budded. And I want to talk about this briefly because I want to bring some significance about this. And you see, And then it's covered. I want to talk about this. And then the ark, the box was covered with a mercy seat. And there are two cherubims, two angels that sit there looking at each other with their wings covering the mercy seat. And I want to talk a little bit. I don't know which way to open it. There we go. I've got some stones in here. You know, that's like a 10 commandments. I've got more than 10 in here. Maybe there are 13 commandments. We are in New Testament. No. Okay, and the stones, and then I've got Aaron's bud, okay? Because, and I want to talk about this too briefly, and then we can call this as manna, okay? This is all modernized Ark of God. And so what happens is the priest was supposed to go and to sprinkle blood on that, on the mercy seat, and start interceding for people. But the significance, I want to talk about these three things. Number one was, see, God covered, because number one was Aaron's rod, which was buttered, because Korah, I'm giving you a history lesson, but I'll get there fast. Korah, who rebelled against Moses and Aaron with 250 people, go to Aaron and Moses and say, who do you think you are to elevate yourself above all these Israelites? And so God says to Moses, ask every tribe to bring in 12 rods, put that around the tabernacle, and by next morning you watch which rod buds. And it was Aaron's bud that kind of grows flowers and buds, almonds and whatnot. And so that was a sign to say that it was Aaron who got anointed to be a Aaron. I was just checking, making sure that you know your stories. Yeah. And then Aaron was anointed by God. And then the other one was the manna. The manna was, of course, we know what the manna is because of their complaining. And they were complaining to God and to Moses, and God fed them with manna. And the third one was the stones. Now, I've written them down here, what they symbolize. Number one, the stones were rooted in their idolatry and failure. Because all these three things were the failure of Israelites because they couldn't walk with God in obedience. And it was, number one, the stones were rooted with their idolatry and failure. What's idolatry for us today? Idolatry is this. Anything that is above God is sin, is an idol. If your wife is above God, an idol. If your work is above God, it's an idol. If your job is above God, work and job are the same, an idol. Amen? If your car is above God, it's an idol. If your tools are above God, they're an idol. And anything that is above God is an idol. And number two is the rod that budded is rooted with rebellion, because Korah comes and challenges Moses. And yes, he gets leprosy because of his rebellion. And number three is the manna, because the manna was because they complained. When the Israelites complained, it was rooted with complaint. And what God did, he took those three, instructs Moses, and he puts them in a box, and he covers it with mercy seat, and then they sprinkle blood on that. But this is, and they were supposed to carry it on their shoulders wherever they went. Now, I want to tell you something. Jump into 1 Samuel 4, 5, 6. The Philistines overcome Israel, and they try to uncover the box, to pull out what was in the holy relics, to pull them out. And God punishes the Philistines with boils, with tumors, with hemorrhoids, and about 50,000 of them die for touching the ark of God. What God is saying is, do not uncover what I've already covered with my blood. Amen. Every sin, all this example was to bring one point. All your sins, all your dirty little secrets, God has put them in a box. He's covered it, and the blood of Jesus is on it. Don't uncover what God has covered. Don't go digging your past and feeling bad for yourself. God has redeemed you. God has set you free from rebellion, from idolatry, from complaining. God has set you free. And he's saying to us today that if the Lord has set us free, who can be against us? Amen. The blood of Jesus has set us free. And I want to say, you cannot parent well. We're talking on Mother's Day, talking about Rahab. You cannot parent well if you continue to live in guilt and shame. Amen. I've learned that 3 weeks ago. I wanted to resign as a parent. I wanted to take my 3 children back to the warehouse. You know, money back guarantee. And I got to take them back. Can I have new ones? Warranty. As a parent, we fail. Any failure parents that failed? Only there are 3, 4. The rest are perfect. Oh, there's 5. Now we're getting honest here. You know, we all fail. But I'm encouraging you, don't beat yourself down. You were covered under the blood of Jesus. Now rise up. You have a job to do, to parent your children, to intercede on behalf of your children, to apply the blood of Jesus over your children. Amen. And that's my number one point, is that no matter what your background, you know, your family will be saved. Amen. No matter what your background, your family will be saved. Number two is bind the cord. I love that. He's saying, the two spies said, look, hey, Rahab, we've got a job for you to do. It's not the pastor's job, come on. It's not the church's job, okay? It's not the Sunday school job that your children are misbehaving, come on. I'm not talking about this church, but I see so many people, parents, please listen to me. Don't follow your children. Your children are supposed to follow you. Amen. Oh, the children's church is not good. I talked to one of the parents who used to go to this church, and I saw them at Rockfield Fair last year. And I said, hey, what church are you going to? They said, oh, this church. I said, that's great. So I was talking to the kids. I wanted to find out what they're learning there. And you know, the kids love going to this new church. You know why? They get lollies every week. All they talked about was lollies. And I'm kind of going, what is wrong with us as a church? Church has become like a mini business. Entertain them, they'll stay with us. No, I keep saying it. God didn't die to entertain you. He died to transform you and I inside out. Amen. So we got a job to do. Teach your children the word of God. Lay hands. What he's saying, those guys are saying, hey, Rahab, we have a job for you. Tie the rope to the window. That when we see this rope, and whoever in this household will be there on the day when we conquer, they will be saved. And God is saying to you and I, look, it's not the pastor's job. It's not the connect group's job. It is your job. It is your job to train your children the ways of the Lord. Amen. If you're too busy, stop doing some things that you're doing. Amen. Focus on your family. Someone asked me at a future leaders meeting, they said, Pastor Peter, hypothetically speaking, what if Pastor Kara gets up one morning and says, I'm done, I don't want to serve God anymore, I want to quit, what would you do? I said, the first thing I would do is talk to the leadership, I want to take a break, I want to get my family right. Why? My first job is to look after my bride and look after my rugrats. Sometimes I want to put them through the mincer. But I'm telling you, you have a job to do. How many of you get up and pray for your children? When I was 16, I was praying for a godly wife. When I was 16, I didn't go after women. As most of you know, I only dated two women in my life. One dumped me, one married me. That's my story. And it's true. Simple story. But I prayed for a woman that will love God, that is bold enough to say, let's go serve God. And I left billion people, 1.4, soon it would be 1.6 billion people in India, because there are a lot of women I could marry in India, right? But God brings me here, places me this lovely godly lady that loves God more than she loves me. And not afraid to tell me the truth when I need to hear the truth of the word of God. All the men said, amen. Amen. God can use women. God can use you no matter what your testimony is. You have a job to do. Tie the rope on your children. Preach the word of God to your children. I don't know where my phone is, but I've been lately doing this on my phone. Can you throw it at me? I've been lately doing this on my phone, but because we all touch our phones a lot, right? And I started putting each kid on the phone. And whenever I look at it, I can go, yeah, he is mine. Devil, he is mine. It's a reminder to say that his future is sealed with the blood of Jesus. His future is sealed with the plan and the purpose of God. No devil in hell can. I'm doing my job. I'm tying the rope. I'm praying and I'm interceding that these children that God has given me will follow God. Yes, it's going to be difficult, but there is no option because I'm going to pray the promises of God over them. Keep praying for your children. I want to give you some scriptures here. Talking about put the cord, bind it, nail it down. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. I want my children, I know it's a challenge, but my prayer is that God will give me and my wife the ability, the discernment, the authority, the anointing, that I will pray that my kids, when they continue, they're growing up, when they continue to grow up, be adults, that they will choose God. But I cannot do that if I don't have active faith at home. You may think, why are you talking on this? Because I'll tell you, your faith is under attack right now. Most Christians are getting lazier by the day. They wallow in their disappointments. They wallow in their struggles. They wallow in unanswered prayers. Well, God always answers prayers, amen? There are no such thing as an unanswered prayer. God always answers a prayer. The answers are yes, no, wait. I thank God for that. I thank God for the transformations in this church, some of these young people. And I want to tell you, older people, with love and respect, we have a job to do to pray for these young people, to speak life over these young people. I'm middle-aged, apparently, according to my children. I'm an old man, I'm middle-aged, so I'm like the meat in the sandwich. But I'm telling you, we have a job to do. Please hear me. All the men and women, don't get lazy in your walk with God. Don't become selfish and go, ooh, what about me? Nobody talks to me. You go influence these young people. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. When the young people come and ask you, when they ask you a question, give them an answer, not an attitude. True? When they come and ask you a question, if Eric comes and asks you a question, give him an answer, not an attitude. Imagine if I go, ugh, silly boy. You know? You have no clue what you're talking about, young man. And if I give him an attitude, I'm not building life in him. Amen. I know this is Mother's Day. You have to eat, but some of you are losing your appetite right now. Just because it's Mother's Day doesn't mean we play Rosie Posey. Amen. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Now I'm talking to the young people. My son, hear the instructions of your father. My sons, wherever they are, and daughter, hear the instructions of your father and your mother. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for there will be a graceful ornament on your head and chain about your neck. Amen. Children, listen to your parents. Sadly now, parents listen to their children. Anyway. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, my daughter, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of where? Your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. I want to talk to young people too. Honor your mom and dad. Honor your mom and dad. You may probably know the tablets and the iPads and iPhones, how to operate them better than your parents. That doesn't make you clever. That doesn't make you more better than your parents. Honor, it's not old-fashioned, it's the truth. Honor your mom and dad. It is so cool to see my wife honor her mother. When most of you know, Francie had to go through an operation last year, but when Cara was honoring her mother, my kids were watching that, and I was telling them, you honor your mother because she's setting an example for you how to honor your parents. Amen. It's not just the teaching, it's modeling. My last point is the cord that weaved into Matthew 1. That's what I want to talk about. The cord that weaved into Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1 verse 5. How cool is this? Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was who? Rahab. Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the homewrecker. Rahab the socially bankrupt. Rahab who sold a body for money. Rahab who used a body as a business. Rahab who ruined a lot of marriages in her day. Talk to those Jerichonians, they might tell you. Talk to their wives, they'll tell you. God weaved the name of Rahab, a prostitute, into Matthew 1. What is Jesus and what is God saying to us today? He is not worried about your past. He's not, oh my gosh, really? Did Tiffany do that? OMG. Or maybe God might be saying, OM myself. God is not concerned about our past. But when we are obedient, He can change not just our lives, but eternity. Eternity can be changed. So this morning, I want us to stand to our feet, please. I want you, everybody, young woman, if you're not married, pray for a husband, a godly husband. Don't rush into things. Don't sell yourself too short. God will bring the right person into your life. young woman. Maybe you're just thinking, if I can date a guy. No, you don't want to date any guy. You want to date a guy who loves Jesus. That you do, he won't look at you as a piece of meat, but he would look at you as a princess. And if you're married or about to get married, I want you to pray the legacy that you will leave behind. And those that have been married and you got children, pray a legacy over your children. I pray that you will know what it is to intercede. But this morning, I want all the women and men as you stand, but can we lay hands on the woman, please? Men, lay hands on the woman. Now, I don't know whatever the age you may be 5, 16, 60, doesn't matter. You're not even married. You don't even have a boyfriend. You're married or you got children or grandchildren, doesn't matter. And you couldn't have children. I'm saying that's okay because God knows, but you have a role to play. Can we intercede and can we pray over these women today? Can we pray life? Can we pray godly legacy will flow through them, that they will tie the rope around their children, around their grandchildren, that they will speak wisdom around their children and grandchildren, and those that don't have children and grandchildren, that you will prophesy on the generation to come that will come through you, that you will say that godly legacy will flow through you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every woman in this room. I pray, God, that they will not hide back from their past, but God, that you will release them and you will set them free by the blood of Jesus. For what you have covered, let no man uncover it. I pray, Lord, that there will be a godly legacy in this house. There will be women who will raise their children in godly ways. I pray that they will not sit quiet, but God, that would intercede like Hannah, who prayed to have a child. Lord, I pray that they will intercede like Ruth. They would, Lord, stand in the gap like Rahab and say, save my mother, save my father, save my brothers, save my sisters, save my sons, save my daughters, save my grandchildren, my grandsons and granddaughters. Father, I pray your wisdom, anointing upon the woman in this church. That you will weave each one of us like you did with Rahab into Matthew 1. You will weave us into the core of legacy. That we want to raise godly children. But would you give us the ability and the grace for it. Any woman in here that has doubt, any woman in here that has low self-esteem, any woman in here who walks with regret, shame, or guilt, any woman in here, Lord, with any kind of past that they're embarrassed to talk about, I pray this morning that you would wipe their sins clean and give them life. Hallelujah.